Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. I think we have a great show for you today. In the studio with us is Farzan Ahmed. He is a native of Pakistan who came to the United States in 1985 to study engineering. He's a graduate of the Kansas State University, the real Wildcats. After graduating as an engineer, he worked in New York City for a couple of years and then moved to Ohio, joining the Ohio Department of Transportation in 1992. In 2011, after 18 years in construction and design management, Farzan was appointed to the post of District Deputy Director of ODOT's District 6, which takes care of all of the design, construction, and maintenance on state and federal roads and bridges in 8 counties in central Ohio. Pretty cool. Hey, Farzan, thank you so much for getting up and being on my show here.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thanks for coming. And just so folks know, Farzan and I met on Friday, and he gave me essentially an hour-long tour of the trench project up north. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're not going to be able to get all that in, so over the next several weeks or sprinkled in with other shows, we're going to have those interviews too. So we're going to learn a lot more about the trench and all the similarities between dentistry and building roads and bridges. Hey, before we get on to that topic, though, let me just remind folks that you can, we are streaming live. We are on ustreamtv.com. That's you with a U and no, not Y-O-U, but ustreamtv.com live. And you scroll down way down to the bottom of the homepage, click on watch, and then search Dentally Speaking, and we'll wave to you. There, look, I'm waving right now. Anyway,
I should look at the camera when I
yeah, right. Exactly. And the microphone. Also, real quick, if you go to facebook.com/Dr. Kvitko and like us, write a comment detailing your favorite thing about Dr. Kvitko and Associates. And if you do that, you'll be entered to win a Crest Oral-B gift set. Okay, we're going to do one of those a month. All right. So first on, I think people, when I told some people I was having you on the show, they said, wait a minute, he's ODOT. What does that have to do with dentistry? And they really had no clue. One of the things we have in common is that neither of us can work in a wet field, which is really surprising to a lot of people, especially when it comes to dentistry, right? Because the mouth is always wet. But you guys can't work in a wet field either, and yet it's always raining, it's always muck, it's always muddy. Tell me about that.
Well, doctor, I often describe myself as a hopeless optimist, so I hate to be a downer. I hate to start your question off with a comment like this, but one of the things that makes dentistry and construction so similar is because people have a low opinion of both. People are afraid to go to the dentist. Let's face it. That's just how it is. And people are always afraid to go through a construction zone or think about construction coming in their way. But both are essential.
Right.
As far as working in a wet field, you know, construction is about providing stability to the base where you can build something up. And it's very hard to provide stability when you're working in a wet condition. So when we were visiting the trench yesterday, you saw there was so much water at the bottom of the trench because we don't have all the drainage in place yet.
It looked like a river and it was frozen over.
It was frozen over, yeah. One of the beauties and one of the challenges of construction is we have to work around everything that Mother Nature throws us.
Yeah, really. Way. So you have like an ice chip or two and one of those big machines will chip the ice. No, imagine they just drive through it, right?
It wasn't so serious that we'd need an ice chipper. I think that's just a weight of the bulldozer would go right through it. But we are able to work on the walls and some of the other aspects of construction when the ground is wet. But obviously, we cannot work on the wet ground itself until it stabilizes and dries up. And that's very similar to dentistry.
Yeah, because a lot of times you'll come by and you'll see, especially in the manholes, you'll see they have a water pump. Down in the and they have the pump up above and a hose down into the hole and they're pumping the water out. So every day when these guys come to work, in a lot of cases, don't they have to wait till the water's pumped out so they can go to work?
not just on construction projects, but what you described is very typical in the life of an electrician, believe it or not, who works for ODOT.
Really?
The electricians who maintain the signals and light towers all over the place that you see. Well, there are these things known as pull boxes, which are like manholes very close to the signals where all the connections are made. So when there is a malfunction in the signal, they often have to pump all that water out as part of their exploration.
Yeah, because the last time I checked, electricity and water don't really mix.
Well, as it turns out, the seals that we have are completely waterproof, but those seals are still underwater when they are in those manholes. So our electricians often carry those pumps with them, and they have to use them almost every time.
Wow. Wow. So can they go and start the pump and then, like, go get a cup of coffee and come back, or they literally have to stand there and wait for the water to be pumped out?
Those manholes are pretty small. It doesn't take much to pump them out, so they have to stand right there and then get the job done and move on and let the hole fill back in.
Okay. You know, this is off the topic for sure, but I don't know. You know how the manhole covers, they're round. And they're round because the cover cannot fall down in the hole. And I don't know if people realize that, but that round cover cannot fall down in the hole. Who discovered that?
It must have been an extremely smart person. I hope they got a patent on it, because they're probably extremely rich, or their ears are extremely rich by now. But you're exactly right, Doc. A square or a rectangular.
Or an oval.
Or an oval. Any other shape would ultimately find its way down into that hole, and then you'd have trouble. But a round hole, just the diameter is the diameter of the circle. That's geometry 101. So that round cap is never going to fall in.
When we were talking the other day, you talked about how it sounded like I had sat in on your concrete class. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But do you actually have classes like that? Like we're going to learn about concrete today. We're going to learn about, you know, subbases and when you're doing your engineering courses.
Absolutely. There's a concrete class that, of course, we all take in engineering school, but within ODOT, we also have concrete classes to teach our young engineers as well as our inspectors. Yesterday, the job was shut down due to the extended holiday, but if you go on the job on any other time, you'll find ODOT inspectors inspecting the work that the contractors are doing, and these guys are certified in concrete, and they have sat through those classes.
Interesting. And so your inspectors are on site the whole time. They don't have to wait for the inspector to show up. Like maybe if I were remodeling my dental office, I'd have to wait for the plumbing inspector to show up.
A lot depends on what is being done. There are certain types of work for which the inspector has to be there on site. And there are certain types of work for which we can always come back. Soil compaction is a great example, since we're talking about soil.
They want to see the meter. They want to see that meter on the machine that it actually gained a certain amount of pressure.
Our guys actually use a gauge. It's a nuclear gauge that they use to check the compaction of the soil. So while the soil is being compacted, which is a slow and boring process, the inspector will be on a different job or inspecting a different item of work. And when that work is done and when they're complete, then the contractor will call them. The guys will show up, inspect it, pass it if it's passed, or just have them redo what needs to be redone and then move on to the next job.
Okay. All right. Now, another thing that we have in common is you guys call it rebar. I call it pin retention. And when I'm doing a tooth, that there's not a lot of tooth structure left, like a whole side has broken off, and a lot of people out there, you've had a tooth break off, and you know what it's like when the whole side by your tongue and the whole side by your cheek is gone. Well, we can't really put a filling in there, because a filling, by definition, it has to be inside something like a jelly-filled donut. If there's no donut, it's not a filling, is it? It's just an awning, just a slab of jelly sitting there. So we use pins. I actually thread them into the dentin of a tooth and kind of fold them over. I'll put two or three, and they look like that. And then when I put the filling in, it's all encased in and around those pins, and it's not going anywhere. You guys use rebar. Tell me about rebar.
Well, first of all, I didn't realize you use that for teeth. That's pretty cool. So yeah, that's such a similarity in the reconstruction of a decayed tooth and the reconstruction of a decayed concrete wall, or brand new construction of a concrete wall. Concrete is a great material. It cannot be compressed once it sets, but concrete can break. So if you take that slab of concrete outside, that's your sidewalk, and if you hit it with a sledgehammer,
yes,
you will break off a chunk. But if that slab of concrete had rebar in it, that rebar would give it strength where it would not break that way. And, you know, when we are building bridges and retaining walls, it is essential for us to use reinforced concrete, and we call it reinforced because it's reinforced with rebar. A typical bridge deck has two mats of reinforcing steel. A typical wall, such as the type that you saw yesterday on the job with me, has two mats of reinforcing steel.
And that's the vertical wall that keeps us from falling off the bridge?
Yes.
Two layers?
The wall that I'm referring to is the wall on the side of the trench, which actually retains all the soil behind the trench and on which the adjacent road is built.
Got it. Okay. So that takes two. And bridge decks are three.
Bridge decks also take two mats of steel.
Two. But it looks like it's very intricate, very intertwined. There's literally, it's almost like you've calculated, I can't have too much rebar on my concrete, it'll be a week, but I want to have as much as I can. A little bit like, have you ever noticed on an aircraft, on a jet that you might take to visit your family, the little screws, they're very, very close, but if they were a little any closer, it would almost be like they were creating a hole. Like they would be almost like, you know, laser cutting the area rather than making it stronger. Do you have the same kind of principles?
Indeed, you're talking about the rivets and the screws that are on those wings that you can see when you're sitting on that window seat.
Yeah.
And yes, indeed. Those are calculated. That's actually designed to give it the maximum amount of strength. And the same way, our concrete is designed to give it maximum amount of strength. And the spacing and the size of the rebar. Rebar can be anywhere from half an inch thick to a couple of inches thick. It all depends on what you are using. Of course, the really thick ones are not something we use on bridge decks. We use those sometimes in drilled shafts, which are like vertical shafts that are drilled 60 foot down below the surface.
And it's kind of like a subskeleton. It's also round, and it's a big long hollow. It goes down in the hollow tube mold, right, into the form.
Yes, it does. It's like top down. Think in terms of a gigantic drill that can drill a 5 foot diameter hole 60 feet down.
You know, we do a Dentistry from the Heart event every year, where we do free dentistry for everyone. And next one is June 12th, by the way. And we put a temporary fence up. So I use this local hardware store donates some rebar, 5 foot tall section. I think there's six. And I go out and I drill. I think it's a one inch hole. Well, not quite 1 inch. What would it be? 5/8, 3/4 in the asphalt in my parking lot to pound them in, you know, just temporarily.
Yeah.
You can't imagine all the people that would stop by and say, "What's the matter, Doc? The drill inside wasn't big enough for you. I have this like hammer drill, you know." And it's anyway. Okay, I'm off the topic again. All right. Another thing that makes us similar is we both have to deal with the expansion and contraction of the. Oh, and by the way, backing up to the pins, what you don't have to worry about is that there's no live nerve where you're putting your rebar. When I'm putting my pins in.
You know, I can find a similarity there as well.
Okay, because I have to worry about the nerve. I have to put the pin in just right, not too close to the nerve, not too close to the edge. But go ahead, tell me.
The similarity there would be the existence of live
wires?
Utilities.
Oh, okay.
We could have fiber optic cables. In fact, in that 23 area, we've got gas lines, water lines, fiber optic cables, phone lines, and all kind of stuff that's right next to all that construction.
Oh, okay.
So we do have to be mindful of all of that. And I guess that could be a good similarity with what you have to deal with in dentistry.
It is. Okay, so the next one I thought of is expansion and contraction of the materials we use. So I use this machine that makes crowns the same day almost exclusively now, but there are times when I can't use it. So when I have to take an impression, and I prepare the tooth, and I take an impression, and then I pour the impression, and I send it to the lab, first of all, the impression can have some expansion or contraction variations. The plaster, when it sets up, expands. And then when they take wax and make a coping, that shrinks. Mm-hmm. And then when they heat it in the oven, it expands again. And then when they heat the metal, you know, it expands. And when it cools, it contracts. And you have all these different coefficients of thermal expansion and contraction that you have to somehow get the sum total to be zero. And it's very tricky to do.
It is.
Now, you guys, tell me about the kinds of things that you have to deal with, the expansion and contraction.
There are two areas where we have to deal with the expansion and contraction. First of all, in the construction of brand new pavement and brand new bridges, we know that heat as well as steel will expand and contract. So there are gaps that are placed in specifically designed areas to handle that expansion and contraction, both in steel as well as in concrete. And the other thing that we deal with on a regular basis, on a daily basis, of course, is the standard expansion and contraction that takes place in cold weather, which causes potholes. I guess that would be similar to cavity.
Well, we have that same thing.
Exactly.
Well, think about it, because if you bite into pile of mode and you go through the 20-degree ice cream and into the 140-degree apple filling in an instant, and you keep doing that, it's amazing we can get anything to work in the mouth. I'm serious. And you have a lot of the same, but not the split-second changes like we have to deal with. You hadn't thought of that, had you?
No, I didn't realize that causes that leads to cavities when you go from extreme
heat. Well, not
heat
cavities, but
cold.
The expansion and contraction. So you contract the filling, then you expand the filling, and you do that over time, and that's how sometimes teeth break.
Well, that's wow. That's interesting.
Break a corner.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, we're way behind on getting to our first break. Actually, what we're going to do is Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. So, and remember, people, that the person that's going to win receives free flowers from Weistember Florist. They'll be delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. For the question, though, you may want to remember parallels between dentistry and road construction, and some examples are: neither of us can work in a wet field, both of us use reinforcement steel bars or pins for retention, and we both have to deal with the expansion and contraction of the materials we use.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
All right. The question of the day is, there are many parallels between doing dentistry and the building of roads and bridges. What are they? Is it A, neither of us can work in a wet field? B, both of us use reinforcement steel bars or pins? C, we both have to deal with the expansion and contraction of the materials we use? Or D, all of the above? All right, the winner receives free flowers from Weistember Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769, so go ahead and call now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
I bet everyone knows someone who is afraid of the dentist. In fact, 40% of Americans don't go to the dentist on a regular basis. The number one reason? Fear. Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we've been doing intravenous sedation since 1985, and we offer several sedation options, so we're certain we can help you. Want to be sedated for a filling? We do that. Want to be sedated for a cleaning? We do that. How about a root canal or a crown? We can sedate you for those too. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. A lot of people ask me if I'm accepting new patients. They know I've been practicing for 34 years, so they assume I'm not. Well, guess what? They're wrong. I do accept new patients. After all, if I'm doing my job correctly, I get my patients healthy, so all they need is routine exams, cleanings, and the occasional filling or two. So that leaves me free to take care of you. So yes, I do accept new patients, and I would love to treat you, your family, and your friends. Give my office a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com. All right, we're back. And just so you know, the answer to Dr. Kvitko's question of the day was D, all of the above. And Tina was our winner. And so we'll get those flowers out to her. All right, now, if you're just joining us, we are with Farzan Ahmed. He is ODOT's Deputy Director of District 6. Farzan, what does the Deputy Director mean? Are you like the sheriff? You're not the sheriff?
Hardly. No, I'm a civil servant. I'm a civil engineer.
Okay.
ODOT, the state of Ohio, is divided into 12 districts for operational purposes.
Okay.
And the head of each district, who reports to the director of transportation, which is Mr. Jerry Ray. He's my boss.
Okay.
There are 12 of us. There are 11 other, they are not called Farzan, but there are 11 other Farzans throughout the state, 12 deputy directors who report to our director, and we operate ODOT on his behalf.
Where do you guys meet? Because you're all over the state. When you get together for a meeting, or is it the video conferencing kind of a thing?
We meet once a month, at least once a month, and then...
Do you move it around the state, or is it all they always come to Columbus because we're central?
Typically, we meet in Columbus because that's where the director's office is, and sometimes we meet in my office in District 6.
Okay.
That's just the 12 district deputy directors, because we all have different experiences, and we like to share what we have learned through our jobs with each other.
Okay. Now, one of the things you probably don't have to deal with, and I do on a regular basis, as I was talking about those pins, you know, and sometimes it's a little tricky trying to get a pin in the upper left last tooth, and the person's tongue is in the way, and maybe they're a little fidgety because they don't want to be there in the first place, like you mentioned. And I get the thing balanced on my finger, and I'm just about ready to screw it in, and they'll raise their hand, and I'll say, what? And okay, I need to go to the restroom. So can you imagine you guys getting the crane in place and all the guys are there ready to go? And right when you say, okay, let's do it, the machine has to leave.
The machine has never left, but Doc, the machine has broken down.
Oh, it has
right
broken
in the
down.
Middle of the operation. This
Seriously?
Has happened. Yes. I remember as a young engineer in construction when we were working on I-71 and we had it shut down and we were going to have it shut down for 15 minutes. And in the middle of the lift, the crane's hydraulics broke down. So the beam was up in the air, but the crane operator couldn't set it down. It was up in the air for 2 hours.
Wow.
So imagine I-71 shut down for 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, this is, fortunately, this does not happen often because those machines are kept in good, great working order because they're just too critical to the operation. But a machine is a machine, and sometimes it does break down.
Okay. And people aren't very forgiving, are they?
You know, overall, I've had a very good experience. I've been in this job for 22 years with the state of Ohio, and Ohioans are nice. What can I say?
We really are. We don't beep our horn. You live in New York City, where beeping your horn is like I guess everybody's God-given right or something, right?
Yeah, and people do get frustrated and irritated with traffic. We are all human beings. I think you and I and the other people in the studio probably also get frustrated. But overall, I've found that people in Ohio are very understanding and very polite and civil. And it's actually a pleasure to be a civil servant in the state.
Good. And I do know that Ohioans are very polite from having traveled. Maybe not as much as the South, but we don't say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. But we don't peep our horn. And if we do, it's a little kind of a toot, like, I didn't really want to bother you, but it has been 3 minutes since the light turned green. Anyway, so now I noticed that the new bridge going over I-270 Route 23 on the north side is higher than the previous one. There's more room underneath. And I've heard that the reason is Homeland Security has stipulated any new highway bridge must have room for a mobile rocket launcher to pass beneath. Is that true?
Oh, my God.
That's what I heard.
How in the world does a civil engineer and a civil servant respond to a question about Homeland Security? How about I defer to the Homeland Security experts for that? But I will give you the engineering answer to that.
Okay.
If you go on I-270, you'll see that there are three piers right
yes.
now. And that's what we call a four-span bridge. Going from the abutment to the pier is one span. Going on to the next pier is the second span, and so on and so forth. In order for us to widen I-270 underneath by adding one more lane and to reconfigure that whole interchange, we need to get rid of two piers. So the next bridge that we are building, the new bridge that we're building in to replace the old bridge, is only a two-span bridge.
Okay.
So since the span is much longer, the beams are a lot sturdier and deeper. The old beam could have been 3 foot tall.
Right.
The new beams are probably 5 to 6 feet tall.
Okay.
Therefore, the bridge is so much raised when you go up on 23. We have also raised the clearance by a foot. And then, of course, the rest of the height comes from the fact that the beams are so much higher.
Okay. Cool. Looks like we have to go to another break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko and Farzan Ahmed, and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we pride ourselves in being a one-stop shop, and we find our patients really appreciate it. Let's face it, no one likes being sent all over town for various procedures, and yet that is what happens at most dental offices. Need a root canal? We do that. Need a dental implant placed? We do that. Need gum surgery, wisdom teeth removed, or your teeth straightened? We do those as well. Why not give us a try? Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? You should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. I'm intensely dedicated to providing the absolute best dental care. The word mediocre isn't in my vocabulary. I just won't take shortcuts. Isn't that what you want in the person you trust with sharp objects in your mouth? Of course it is. However, people tend to assume that high quality means expensive. But guess what? We're more affordable than you think. Our fees are about the same as one of those chains, but with us, you get my 34 years of experience and my unwavering commitment to quality. Discover for yourself. Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
I'm Grandpa!
And I go to Dr. Kvitko and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Burn my glasses.
Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Kvitko, and today we are talking about the parallels between dentistry and road construction with Farzan Ahmed, ODOT's Deputy Director of District 6. And one of the questions that I have, and I have a lot of buddies that have this same question. Well, first of all, a lot of my listeners know that I have this rolling studio. It started out life as a truck. It's 13 feet 4 inches tall. It's huge. It's 52 feet long. And I never know whether I can fit underneath a bridge. So for the longest time, there's that railroad trellis that goes over Lazelle, and it did not have a height. And I avoided it for a long, long time. And then later, they put up a sign that says it's 13.6 clearance. And I thought, I don't know, am I going to fit under that, even though I'm supposed to be 13.4? So I went really, really slow, and a guy got out of his car and said, "Do you want me to check, you know?" And he got up and stood up on the stanchions on the side, and he watched as I slowly went under this thing. But I've asked tow truck drivers, I've asked over-the-road truckers, I've asked everybody I can, if the thing says 13.6 clearance, can a 13.6 vehicle go under it? What's the answer?
Yes, a 13.6 clearance means that at the lowest point, you've got at least 13 feet 6 inches of clearance between the bottom of the bridge and the top of the road. Having said that, you got to keep in mind.
Oh, there's a having said that part.
You got to keep in mind, your vehicle is designed with a certain type of tire to be in place. And if you have had that vehicle long enough to have those tires changed, what if you got a tire that's bigger? I don't keep track of those. I don't know if you do. And the other thing is,
no, I don't.
And the other thing is, what if there is something wrong with the pavement? What if there is a rut on the pavement?
A rock?
Or a rock.
Or an asphalt patch that's too tall. An asphalt patch maybe would raise it a little bit.
Could be a piece of debris and your truck bounces over that. So my advice is always give yourself a little bit room. There's a lot of credence to being a little prudent about these things.
So like 2 inches of leeway?
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
What if I said yes and 2 inches were not enough? Are you going to call me to have tow you out?
I don't think you have a tow truck big enough, but okay. So, but I'm driving down the highway and I know that I can fit under the 13.6 trellis there on Lazelle. So if I'm on an over the road trip and I come upon a 13.6, should I not go under it, or should, because I haven't tested that one, or I go under it very slow? What should I do?
If you come across a 13.6, you're probably not on the interstate. The interstate clearance is 16.5.
Okay.
So you're probably on a local road or a low-speed road. So my advice to you at that point would be, yes, if that is the only way for you to go, then go very slowly and with a lot of care. And
on my way to visit my son, who is at Michigan State right now, it must be a state route, but there are bridges that you go under that are 13.9. And it's 70, it's 65, 70 mile an hour speed limit.
Well, as a transformed, loyal Buckeye, my first advice to you would be to transfer yourself to Ohio State.
You know, unfortunately, he did get a professorship job. He's going to the University of Georgia, so he'll be a bulldog. But anyway, at least he won't be up. We don't have to go up to Michigan anymore. Okay, looks like we are almost out of time. Actually, we only have about a minute left, and I didn't get to a lot of this. Hopefully, some of the things we talked about at our interview the other day will be enough to cover everything. But Ahmed, I want to thank you again for getting up and being on my show. It's been a lot of fun having you, and I think we've probably enlightened yourself and some others as to the parallels.
Well, absolutely. I've learned a lot about dentistry as well. Thank you very much, Dr. Kvitko.
Good. You just don't make sure you don't take my job. All right. So remember that if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Dr. Kvitko. Please join me the next Sunday and every Sunday morning right here on your favorite station. And be aware that the show times have changed. We are now on this station at 7:30, and we are rebroadcasting on two other stations at 8:30. So that would be on Mix and Rewind. Mix is 107.9. Rewind is 103.5 and 104.3. Got it. So you'll be able to listen to this on those stations at 8:30. All right. Thanks so much. Have a great week. Goodbye.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1. urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.